Thank you. Good day, friends. Isn't it a wonderful thing that you and I can sit down and discuss together the Word of God to start the day or in the middle of the day, whatever time it may be, to enjoy Him and the marvelous revelation God has given to us in His Word. And again, let me say what I've said so often, and by the way, and I don't mind repeating it. I'm really concerned about this, that God's people get into their Bibles and to know what God has to say to us through His Word. Now, we started in our last lesson with a study and the epistle of Paul to the Galatian church. And if I were to give you a great theme on Galatians, it's Christ our liberator, or He's dealing with the sufficiency of the work of Christ. And allow me to repeat what I said yesterday. Paul wrote this letter, by the way, between 55 and 56 A.D., and he had met these people on his trip through Galatia on his second and third missionary journey. You find this in Acts 16 and Acts 18. These people were Gauls who had come down from northwest and had come into Asia Minor and had settled down in what we now know as Galatia. And here Paul had a wonderful time with them. They had accepted the Savior and they'd had a wonderful experience with God. We're going to see that as we go through the book. And they were enthusiasts, but they were also fickle. They were hot, and then they were cold, so on. And false teachers had come down from Jerusalem, and they tried to upset the work of the gospel which the Apostle Paul had brought to them. And these legalizers, these false teachers, had said that these Christians in Galatia must be circumcised. They must keep the law of Moses. They must observe holy days. They must keep the Sabbath. And they brought these things in, and it upset the testimony of Paul and upset the faith of these Galatian Christians. Now, these false teachers had some very apparently real arguments. For example, allow me to give you three things that comes out of the book on the arguments that these false teachers brought to these Galatian Christians. First of all, they seem to have the Scripture on their side. You see, they came with the Word of God, apparently. And they came from Jerusalem. They came from the great city and from the great temple. Now, as I say, first of all, they seem to have the Scripture on their side. Wasn't Jesus a Jew? Didn't Jesus keep the law? Then how could they get along without the law? If Jesus kept the law, they should keep the law. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? But just a minute. The second thing was, these Galatians had a yearning for holiness, and it was reasonable to attempt to do good works and find favor with God. They so yearned to please God and so yearned to live good Christian lives that they were told to do good works for the purpose of finding favor with God. Now remember, I'm not opposed to good works. But if you're doing good works for the purpose of getting salvation or keeping your salvation, then, my friend, this is not scriptural. You're denying the sufficiency of the work of Christ. Now, the third reason was these teachers had come down from Jerusalem. And wasn't Jerusalem the holy city? Didn't Christianity start there? Weren't the apostles there? And after all, who was this man Paul? He wasn't one of the 12. Paul was a man who went out on his own. So it looked very reasonable from these teachers that Paul had not brought them the right gospel. Allow me to repeat those three things again. These false teachers seemed to have the Scripture on their side when they declared that Jesus, who was a Jew, kept the law. And then because of these Christians having a yearning for holiness, it seemed very reasonable to the human heart to find favor with God by doing good works. And thirdly, they had come from Jerusalem, which was the holy city. And that's where Christianity started. That's where the apostles were. These people came from the first church at Jerusalem. And Paul didn't belong there. Paul was a fellow who went out on his own. He was an independent sort of a fellow anyhow. He didn't come from Peter, James, and John. He wasn't one of the 12. And hence it's not worth listening to him. We came with the authority of the church. What does Paul have behind him? Now you can get the argument of these false teachers to this church. Thus, the fruitage of this, these Christians at Galatia, were moved away from Christ. These Galatians were fallen from grace, and it was urgent that Paul write to them. Did I hear you correctly say that they were fallen from grace? Yes. Do you mean you believe that it's possible for a person to fall from grace? Yes. Yes. You just need to read chapter 5 to find that. In the first 5 verses, you'll find that. But remember, what you mean by falling from grace and what Paul means by falling from grace might be 2 different things. So you reserve your judgment before until we get to chapter 5. But through these false teachers, they had been moved away from Christ, and they were fallen from grace. As I say, there was no epistle of Paul that was so upon his heart than these Galatians. And as he wrote to them, as he ends up the epistle, he wrote it with his own hand. And as far as I know, this was the only epistle that the Apostle Paul, the only letter that Paul wrote with his own hand. He generally used Timothy or Luke or somebody else. He generally signed them, but he never wrote them, except this one to the Galatian church. He said, "See how large a letter I write with mine own hand. Trouble you not," said he, "for I bear my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." So we come to this book of Galatians, and I'm praying that the Lord will make it very, very precious to your heart. In fact, I'm of the persuasion that many of you folk who are listening in are going to enter into a new experience with Christ because of our study of this book of Galatians. I'm fully expecting that many of you will be freed from your legalism and from your bondage to enter into the liberty of the gospel of Christ. Now, I didn't say license, I said liberty. In fact, the only ones who enjoy liberty, the only ones who are free from the power of sin, are those who are under the grace of God. So you mark what I'm saying, and I would urge upon you to read the book through a number of times. There's only 6 chapters. It wouldn't take you very long to read it. In fact, I would love to have you read it every day, all 6 chapters. Wouldn't that be wonderful? So that when we come to certain verses, it's just going to be filled. The text is going to be just flowing through your mind so that you can come along with us in the argument of the book. Now let's look at it. In the first 10 verses, we have Paul's authority. He's got a manifest authority. He's got to declare this because the gospel of the grace of God is his theme. And in these first 10 verses, you have his authority for his message. Now let me again read the first 5 verses of chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, notice how he starts. "Not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever." Now you notice the first verse. Paul, an apostle, by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Did you ever stop to think that the Apostle Paul, in claiming his authority, it was from a risen Christ? You know, we follow a risen Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 to 17, the Apostle Paul says that the love of Christ overmasters him. Why? Because of his union with a risen, glorified Christ. That's why he said, "If any man be in Christ, this risen, glorified Christ, he's a new creation." Now, why am I pressing this? Because Paul said that his apostleship was from the risen Christ. Now, remember, these false teachers had said Paul was not an apostle. He's not one of the 12. He didn't attend our Savior when our Lord walked the earth for those 3.5 years of ministry. Paul wasn't one of them. In fact, Paul didn't become a Christian until after the church had been established in Jerusalem. So you see, Paul, he must, first of all, declare his apostleship. If he cannot prove his apostleship, then he cannot defend his message. May I repeat that? He must prove his apostleship in order to defend his message. And he said that my authority as an apostle was not from the Christ to walk the earth, but from the one who was raised from the dead and ascended to God's right hand to be a prince and a savior. My apostleship was from a risen Christ. You remember when he stood before the Sanhedrin in the book of Acts 22, the issue was the risen Christ. When he stood before Felix and Festus and Agrippa, the three Roman governors and kings, you remember his great defense was the resurrection of Christ. The great theme of Paul's message was a risen Christ. And may I say this? The law cannot go beyond a risen Christ. The law has had nothing to say since the cross. All the law can do is to curse. And Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. We have been joined to a risen Christ. I want to press this to your heart. We follow a risen Christ. And the law cannot go beyond a risen Christ. The law has had nothing to say since the cross. The law has had nothing to say since the cross. And Paul is insisting on the fact that his message is a risen Christ. May I again urge upon you, and I've done this so much, and yet I feel so strongly about this. It's a rare thing to hear people preach and speak on the resurrection and glorification of our Savior. We hear much preaching on the cross of Christ, that he died for our sins, and we're all for that, as you well know. But listen, my friend, the cross of Christ has no authority without the resurrection. And this was the great theme of the early church. This Jesus, God has raised from the dead. With whom do you have fellowship? A risen Christ. Who saves you? A risen Christ. The resurrection is the guarantee of the salvation which we proclaim. Now, Paul is insisting on this. And in our next lesson, we want to follow through on this question that Paul's apostleship came from a risen Christ. Now read the book, will you, through, and the Lord bless you.